More About Demons by Dr. Ray Herman. I've written several articles about demons over the years, but many readers of this website still don't believe in these creatures. Most think of demons only as mythological entities, having neither factual credibility, nor historic validity. That is understandable, because we have been taught this in schools, and it has also been implied in some churches. So prevalent is this lack of belief that the few people who do understand that demons are real are thought to be ignorant and holding on to childish ideas. But even when true believers are asked about these creatures, there seems to be a lot of confusion about how to describe them. According to one dictionary, a demon is an evil spirit or a supernatural mythical being, intermediate between gods and men. Another describes a demon as any destructive person or thing. At the time when Jesus was born, pagan Greeks thought of demons as inferior deities, both good and bad. And one modern encyclopedia dances around their explanation by lumping them together with angels, and then using ambiguous terms describing them as any benevolent or malevolent spiritual being that mediates between the transcendent and temporal realms. Even religious leaders who do speak about demons, usually considered them just as metaphors not to be taken literally. All such confusion contributes to disbelief in these creatures. And in the modern media, demons are anything script writers or authors or directors want them to be. These entertainment people are mostly not interested in accuracy, but only in scaring viewers and readers because fearful subject matter sells their products. So, what should we believe? Well, the truth is that demons are authentic evil entities that affect our lives, so it is wise to be aware of them. This study will offer biblical proof of their existence and explain who is responsible for their appearance on earth, exactly what they are, when they arrived, where they came from, how it all happened, and why they are still here. Not only that, but we will learn how to recognize them within our society and what methods are needed to reflect their evil advances upon us. This information will help us to understand how much more complicated our world is than from what we see on the surface. It will also explain why evil is on the upswing. And this information may actually save our lives by helping us obtain a secure place in a new world soon to arrive. A quick overview of the true history of demons. Besides collecting bits and pieces from my previous writings about demons, I've added much more to make this study's focus of value to the reader. Although sounding like science fiction, I pray that this information will help you to understand that demons are an integral part of Satan's plan to turn humanity away from God. Demons are invisible spirit partners in Satan's grand plan for evil control of this world. These demonic entities indirectly resulted from intermixing genetic materials from both humans and fallen angels, either through angels mating with humans or by high-tech genetic manipulation. This hybridizing event occurred sometime before the Great Flood in Noah's day, and it actually led to God's decision to destroy Earth's civilization at that time. Some pastors who do admit to demons' existence, avoid talking about them, because of the vulgar facts leading to their appearance. That which was born from this hybrid breeding program were creatures called Nephilim, which had large physical fleshly bodies. Their fleshly bodies, like all human and animal bodies, were subject to death, however they had a hybrid angelic human invisible spirit which did not die. Over time, after the fleshly portion of the entity died, the living but disembodied spirit portion, called a demon, continued to live on, even until today. Demons were born on earth, and by God's command, on earth they must stay. According to the Holy Bible, these creatures are sometimes called unclean or evil spirits and they have great power that is useful to Satan in this modern world. One researcher wrote that these demons seem rather uncomfortable being outside of fleshly bodies, so they possess other living bodies in order to be content. Read Genesis, chapter 6, to get a biblical perspective of the beginning of the demonic problem, but there is other scripture from the Jewish religious texts, Book of Enoch and Book of Jubilees, which are much more descriptive. And now, the giants, who are produced from the spirits and flesh, shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies, because they are born from men, and from the Holy Watchers is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits shall they be called. As for the spirits of heaven, in heaven shall be their dwelling, but as for the spirits of the earth which were born upon the earth shall be their dwelling. Enoch 15, verses 8 through 10. And it came to pass when the children of men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the angels of God saw them on a certain year of this Jubilee, that they were beautiful to look upon, and they took themselves wives of all whom they chose, and they bare unto them sons and they were giants. And lawlessness increased on the earth and all flesh corrupted its way, alike men, and cattle and beasts and birds and everything that walks on the earth, all of them corrupted their ways and their orders, and they began to devour each other, and lawlessness increased on the earth and every imagination of the thoughts of all men, was, thus evil continually. And God looked upon the earth, and behold it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted its orders, and all that were upon the earth had wrought all manner of evil before his eyes. Jubilees 5, verses 1 through 3. To end the corruption of his once perfect creation, God sent the great flood which wiped out most living creatures on earth, humans, and animals alike. Notable exceptions were Noah and his family, along with males and females of animals not genetically corrupted by the fallen angels. Fallen angels and demons do not die, of course, so they are still on or within this earth. The ability that these unclean spirits have, is to possess a human or animal body as a sort of temporary home that is an extraordinary power which is useful in fulfilling Satan's agenda. They are able to overpower the owner's free will and take control of their life. The Bible gives several examples of demons being excised or expunged from their possessed bodies. One short story well worth reading is of Jesus removing such demons from a human man, see Matthew 8, Mark 5, and Luke 8. Also see the article, Demons, Jesus, and the Pigs, listed in references and notes at the end of this discourse. While demonic possession is the focus for this study, for those readers wishing more information than the above abbreviated overview of their evil creation, please see the citations in references and notes. Where are demons now? Satan's dark spiritual forces are scattered throughout this world, and the devil, his associates, and demons are taking unfair advantage of people everywhere. Once these unfairly exploited people are placed under evil control, they turn into the narcissists, psychopaths, sociopaths, and outright liars who are callously insensitive and immune to the feelings of others. Look around you. How many news reporters, politicians, corporate professionals, celebrities, and even church leaders, have one or more of the following traits? Paul the Apostle calls these objectionable traits, works of the flesh, works of greed and self-centeredness, rather than works of God's Spirit of love. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. We should view such people not by what they say, but only by their actions and results. When someone smiles and says things we want to hear, we tend to believe them, but these evil types know it isn't true and will lie just to draw us into their plan. They don't really care about us, they only want to influence us, control us, or physically possess us. And it is probably not very hard for them to convince otherwise good people to turn to evil, for they are expert in providing what people want in exchange: riches, power, fame, sex, drugs, etc. In the Old Testament, King Solomon draws on a host of pictures from everyday life to warn against believing the wrong people. Scripture quotes him as saying, "A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin." Proverbs 26, verse 28. One Bible commentator explains this scripture with an imagery of fervent lips, but with a wicked heart, being like a shining silvery finish disguising the worthlessness and drabness of earthenware pottery underneath. So, He says, lips burning with pretended love often cover a heart full of hatred. Continuing, the author wrote, the chronic hater tries to hide his enmity with gracious words, at the same time storing up deceit within. Though he may speak graciously, you can't trust him. Avoid those people and commune with the Lord instead. Fear God, and keep His commandments, for that is the whole duty of everyone. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. These evil people attempt to overthrow our governments, provoke wars, corrupt our elections, invade our privacy, and remove our rights. Such wicked people enjoy introducing money laundering schemes, vaccination scams, and depopulation programs. They even want to manipulate us into a one-world religion, by indoctrination within the churches. And they continue pushing homosexuality, transgendering, and race baiting, along with saturating our schools with division, fear, and hate. Either by influence or demonic possession, they lie, cheat, twist, manipulate, and sometimes force compliance, in an attempt to reorganize and enslave our modern society under satanic control. I really don't have to explain this any further, because there is plenty of evidence available for anyone who wants to investigate. Most don't want to know such things, or they are afraid to do the research, or they just don't care, but to God there is no excuse not to express our disgust at what is going on in our world today. At the very least, we should educate our families about the corruption, or at least peacefully try to do so. God has a plan to end the evil ways of our current world, and He will soon take back control of this planet. He has proven His point that humans cannot survive and thrive without divine guidance and law. Satan knows his time is short, so he is increasing his attacks upon humanity, in an effort to turn as many humans against God as he can. Why do most people not understand what drives this evil? God actually explained why, several thousand years ago. As he quoted from the Hebrew book of Isaiah, our Lord spoke the following words. You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart. Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. If you are one of the few people that do see, hear, and understand this evil so much that your heart aches, then listen to the Apostle Paul's advice. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers, the night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Romans 13, verses 11 through 13. There is a section in the New Testament where we are told who is the enemy of God, so we understand that evil on earth is controlled not just by people, but by people under evil control. And although this is God's battle, we are also given crucial ways to combat against attacks from evil forces. These methods of reflecting evil attacks are called the armor of God, all is explained in the book of Ephesians. A full article about this information is titled, Ephesians 6, Evil Cosmic Powers and the Armor of God, and it is listed in references and notes. Conclusion. We must all get busy and do what is required to book passage into a new and better world ruled by Christ, because this one ruled by Satan and his fallen angels and demons is on the verge of disappearing. We don't want to disappear along with them. As we move closer to the end of this age, the events still coming upon this earth will cause fear, worry, and anxiety much more so than that which is happening now. But God has an antidote for those stressful conditions, because security in the Lord removes such things. As one psalm states, I sought the Lord and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34, verse 4. Above we mentioned the works of the flesh, which are bad attributes of those affiliated with evil, but Paul also listed attributes for those who express the Spirit of God. These good attributes are called the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. God made it easy for us to know which characteristics we should adopt and which ones to shun. For a short study on these Bible verses, see the article, Fruit of the Spirit, Works of the Flesh, listed in references and notes. This information will make us a better Christian and can actually save our life. So, if you are right with God, there is no reason for fear or worry concerning what will soon happen. How do you get right with God? It isn't hard. To start, understand that you are a sinner. Pray and ask the Lord for salvation. It is not difficult, just be aware that you must be sincere. If we live by Scripture, we need not worry, because God's plan is for the elimination of evil. Our concerns can be negated by relying on Him for relief. He actually tells us dozens of times in His holy book to do just that. My favorite verse is short and to the point: cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. The song pick for this article is about relying upon our Lord in times of trouble. Recorded with soft strings and acoustic piano is the ballad titled I Rely by gospel artist Samaj. Selected lyrics are below and the music video link is listed in references and notes. The whole world is crying in grief. Everyone's looking for some relief. On my knees will you please hear my plea. In your word you said to me, lean on me. By your power I decree, by faith I believe. You always come through. That's why I trust you. And I rely on you. The end. Copyright 2023, Dr. Ray Herman. OutlawBibleStudent.org. To view the references and notes for this article, see the citations list following the text copy online. Please leave any comments you may have at the end of the written article. Thank you for visiting the Outlaw Bible Student website.